Good afternoon. Only one part of you is here, Kuma. Where's the other half? Missing in action. It's good to be with you once again. I don't know why. But it's good to be here. To see your smiling faces and share this nonsense with you. The nonsense that you were never born, you have always existed, you never die, you are you, the ineffable you that has always been and always will be and never will cease to be. All of the world that goes around you is simply an emanation of your mind. You have created all these things for your play. Yet you exist. Who exists? What are you? Some people say I'm a spirit. Other people say I'm a god. Other people say I'm immortal. But what are you really? Find out for yourself. I won't tell you. Find out what you are, what you're doing here on this planet, what your purpose in life is. Find out. I become aware that many of you are practicing many forms of sadhana. Some of you are following Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. When you regulate your life, you get up at a certain time. You spend so many hours sleeping. You take a cold shower. You sit in meditation for a couple of hours. You do mantras, pranayama, breathing. You help the homeless. You have a positive attitude. Is all this necessary? The question arises, if you're practicing self-inquiry, do you need to do these things also? The answer is yes and no. For the mature soul, self-inquiry suffices. For by doing self-inquiry, all these other things will come by themselves. You will do what you're supposed to do. Spiritual practices, whatever, will happen of their own accord when you practice self-inquiry. Self-inquiry doesn't have to be regulated in any way. You may practice at any time. When you're working, when you're driving the car, when you're washing the dishes. Through self-inquiry, the mind becomes still, quiet, subdued. You do not have to meditate. You do not have to do mantras if you're doing self-inquiry. That takes care of everything. But some of us are not really doing self-inquiry. Then we have to do these other things. Then we have to regulate our life. Do not think if you do absolutely nothing, you will advance and become self-realized. You have to, through one method or the other, totally subdue the senses of the body and the thoughts. That's what it's all about. The ego disappearing. The thoughts becoming weaker. Until they no longer tell you what's right or what's wrong, what's good or what's bad. Until they no longer regulate your life by telling you you're happy or you're sad. According to what happens in the world, in accordance with how someone reacts to you, you find when you're practicing self-inquiry, it doesn't make a bit of difference what's going on in your life. For your life, you begin to understand it's always been the ego. It hasn't really been your life. It has been the ego's life. All of these years when certain conditions and situations came into your life and you reacted to them. This has been the ego's life, the ego's joy. The ego has been playing with you. And you have believed all of these years that this world has something to offer you, something to give you, something for you to react to. Now you're beginning to understand that within you is the power. You are that. All of the freedom, all of the joy, all of the happiness, all of the love, everything you're searching for, you are. You have always been that. Yet you have been looking for it in the external world. And you still do. Most of you. You allow this world to tell you how you feel. You read about a recession and you begin to believe jobs are hard to get. It's hard to make a living. That belief alone will make it that way. But for whom is there recession? For the ego, not for you. If you investigate all these things, you'll see this is true. During the Great Depression of 1929, people became multimillionaires. They became very wealthy. Well, most of the people were starving to death. Didn't have any money. That's how it is today. Conditions, situations are given to you faster than any time before. You just turn on the TV and you hear what's going on all over the world. and you react. You feel it. You apply this to yourself. Having the power that you do, the application of these negative traits to yourself causes you to be one of the bunch, one of the people who suffer. And so you suffer. Because you believe there isn't enough, you believe things are bad, you feel something is wrong somewhere. Accordingly, you bring it upon yourself. We have to stop doing these things. We have to turn to the power that knows the way. God, the Self, consciousness. And we have to merge in this consciousness. We have to give up our egos, our thoughts, totally surrender to the One. Total surrender. Give everything up, mentally, in your mind. Then you become free. Then happiness is always emanating from you. You become a living embodiment of happiness. Total joy. You do not really become anything. The ego just becomes less and less. Automatically, your real nature comes out. There should be nothing in this world or any other world that can disturb you. There should be no situation that can cause you pain. There should be no one who can tell you anything that you will react to. To become this way, you have to turn within. And no matter how many times I say this to you, some of you still turn without. You're looking at conditions to determine how you're going to feel and what you're going to do with your life. You cannot do this. You are the one that has always been and will always be. There is no other one beside you. That one has nothing to do with your body or your mind. That one is effortless pure awareness. You are that one. Without another. Yet, you're still going around believing you're a man, you're a woman. You're a person. You're a body. You're a mind. Why do you believe this? Because the world shows you this. Where did the world come from? Where did the universe come from? Does the world of the universe exist when you're sleeping? When you are in deep sleep, there's no world, there's no universe. When you dream of another world, of another universe. Yet you realize it comes from you. But in deep sleep, there's no dream. There's no other universe, and there's no this universe. In deep sleep, there's a void. Who experiences the void? There has to be an experiencer of the void, or there would not be a void. This answers the question that some of you have that think I have to get into the void and that's it. And then there's self-realized on the contrary. As long as there's somebody who experiences the void, you are not totally free. You have to find out who the experiencer is. There's a serious thing of void. It is the experiencer that illumines the void, so that you're able to see the void. Comes from the self, which is your real nature. So again, when you are asleep, nothing exists. Your troubles do not annoy you. Conditions do not bother you. There's absolutely nothing going on when you are asleep. That's why many people like to sleep so much. For that's the only time they find peace. Yet this is not the answer. You are beyond sleep. Beyond the void, beyond experiences, beyond everything. That place cannot be explained. You have to arrive there yourself. The silence is your true home. Beyond words, beyond thoughts, beyond experiences, beyond manifestations. Silence. Silence is your real nature. In your everyday experiences, try not to talk too much. Think of all the words you've uttered since you were born. All of the statements, quotations, remarks, words of anger, words of happiness. All the words that have come out of you since you were born. Billions of words. Has it done you any good? What have all these words done for you? Now think what would have happened if you have never uttered a word in your life. Would you be better off? When your mind is going full speed, it is like speaking words. There's no difference. There are many people who go away to retreats. They become monks or nuns. They go live in the forest or in the cave. Yet their mind is just as strong as it always was. Which means it's not doing them any good. It is better to be in the marketplace and have a quiet mind than to live in a holy place and have a chattering mind. This is why it doesn't matter where you go or where you live. For wherever you go, you have to bring your mind with you. All of the thoughts of the past, the fears, the frustrations, all this goes with you. Destroy your mind and see if you want to go anywhere. Transcend the mind and then see if you have a desire to move to a holy place, so-called, or to go anywhere at all. It is the mind that keeps telling you to go to this place and go to that place, to read this book and to read that book. If there was no mind, who would read the books? Who would have desires? Who would need to do anything? Yet again, you will always appear to do something. Many of you still tell me that you're afraid to stop the mind I'm going to say you'll be in limbo. And you'll become a raving idiot. Nothing like this ever happens. For when the mind is quieted, the self takes over. And you will find that you're in your right place, doing those things that you were meant to do. That you are happy, peaceful. That all is well. Go beyond thoughts, beyond words. Do not attempt to analyze anything. Be yourself. Observe your feelings, your breath, your thoughts. Notice how everything slows down. Notice how time slows down. When your thoughts slow down. Just observe yourself. Do not fight yourself. Do not attempt to change anything. Just watch intelligently, effortlessly. To play Stump the Guru, pass the stumps. When the mind is quiet without any thought, there is bliss, peace, and many insights that come and go. But full realization is still elusive to what's right in front of me. This last act of surrender is so subtle, it seems impossible. Please give some guidance. You always have to realize, for who is it impossible? For whom is it subtle? These are all words that come from your mind. This is what we've been talking about. You have to drop all the words, all the beliefs, all the thoughts. If realization is your real nature, there cannot be anything that can stop it from happening. It is only you who believe that you have to go so far, and then it's harder after that This is not true. There's nowhere you have to go. There's nothing you have to do. Just be yourself. And you will come to the conclusion that you are already that. These terms that you use, the last act of surrender is so subtle it seems impossible. Please give some guidance. There is no last act. You have those thoughts in your mind that you can only go so far before you get stuck someplace and you can't go any further. Drop that. Do not allow your mind to think about that. Act as if you're already there. Some jnanis teach and some jnanis never become involved in teaching. This is the parapta karma. This has nothing to do with anything. It is the parapta karma that tells you what you're going to do.
What's that word,
parapta? That means the karma that's coming to you from previous lives.
Parapta.
It is this that decides what the body is going to do on this earth. Some yanis do nothing but stay in a cave or stay by themselves. Others go into the world and do teachings and do many things. Originally I was going to live in Oregon, in a shack. I never dreamed I'd be doing this what I'm doing now. But I have nothing to say about this. It just unfolds the way it unfolds. So discover for yourself the truth about you. And then see who asked that question. But it's the karma that decides what the body is going to do and what it's not going to do. That's the appearance. That's how it works. Remember, in the ultimate reality, no one is doing anything. There is nothing taking place. But in the world of appearances, it appears that some yanis do this, some yanis do that. Do not concern yourself with these things. Find out the truth for yourself. Go within. And see where you are. And then you will know what's going on everywhere. Please clarify. What does giving up mentally mean? Hershey Bar. Giving up mentally is giving up all desires that come into your mind. Giving up the things that keep you back. As an example, if you inherit $30 million, it doesn't mean to be spiritual, you have to give it away or get rid of it. But it means mentally you're not attached to it. Mentally you are free. Another example, if you have a disease, it makes no difference what's going on in your body. Mentally, you're not attached to it. Mentally, you leave it alone. Wherever you happen to be in your life, whether you're in Los Angeles, or in India, or in Africa, or in China, it makes no difference where you are, but mentally, you may feel this is right, this is wrong, I shouldn't be here, I should be here. It is these thoughts that have to go. The thoughts have to be given up. The thoughts have to be surrendered. The thoughts that this is right and this is wrong, this is good and this is bad, and this is this way and this is that way, the thoughts have to go. Wherever your body finds itself, you are in your right place. It makes no difference where the body finds itself. But mentally, do not react to it. Surrender the thoughts. Surrender the mind. And that's how you become free. What you see with your senses, with your eyes, is an illusion. Nothing appears as it does. Nothing is as it appears. It is the mind that has to be transcended. The condition doesn't matter. The condition is karmic. The mind has to go.
Is there another way of saying what you just said? Simply don't claim anything?
If you like that, say it. Do it. Don't claim anything. Enjoy it. But don't claim it as yours. It doesn't belong to you. Nothing belongs to you. You are free. Totally unattached. Anyone have anything to say? We'll forever hold your peace. Do we have any announcements?
We have the transcript to be passed out. This is number 60. It's love, compassion, and humility. And I have 5 copies to hand out.
Take life easy. Do not struggle in the world. There's nothing against you. Nothing wants to hurt you. All is well. Until we meet again Thursday night, go in peace. Om Shanti.